Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We've gone to the double logo here. We have Keep Calm, Stay Local. Don Moeller is joining us here for a very, very special edition of Baltimore Positive. We are gathering all the mayoral candidates in the aftermath of the election being moved to June 2nd in the midst of a pandemic and something none of us have ever seen. Don Moeller, I want to invite you in to talk about our first contestant of many here in the mayoral competition and the race. And we've talked to all these folks and we had an event on April 14th, but certainly we're putting things together and piecing things together just like everybody else is in the community right now.
Well, this is certainly how we do Baltimore Positive while social distancing, right? Welcome, TJ Smith. TJ, the race has sort of been turned upside down, huh?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me. Thanks for being responsible. And thanks for still finding a way to communicate with your audience and communicate with people and giving us a platform to communicate with people through this pandemic. And yes, you know what? That's leadership. You, Mr. County Executive, know more than anything that overnight things can change dramatically and you have to be ready to adapt, improvise, and overcome, to steal a phrase from the Marines. I grew up with Marines in my family, and they taught me that at a young age, and it's something that I still live by today. Of course, ideally, you want to get to April 28th, and you want to count those votes, and you want to get started with what's next. But with something like this that is literally life or death for a lot of people, we have to put that first. And I'm thankful for the precautions that have been put in place by our state government. I think Governor Hogan's been doing a great job leading this effort right now. And locally, we've been seeing leadership step up and getting a lot of things done. And it's all about safety.
Well, TJ, you just highlighted something that Nestor and I have been talking a lot about the past few days. I think the public has been talking a lot about it. And that is the leadership really being shown across the nation by the governors, by county executives, and by mayors. And it's been in stark contrast to the leadership coming from the President of the United States, obviously, who for weeks downplayed the virus, called it a hoax, went to rallies, and yet governors, Republican, Democrat, it makes no difference. As you said, all of us, I think, are singing Governor Hogan's praises because we see what the governor and what the executives have done. And I think the way that relates, TJ, for a lot of people to this mayor's race is, I think in a very different way now, they're looking at candidates and saying, can this person, can this man or woman be ready to handle this kind of crisis? Because this won't be the last time. So
that's
what
right.
Do you say to folks who want to now use that metric and say, okay, TJ, we hear you on these other issues, and we'll give you a chance to talk about that a little bit today as well. But on this number one issue of being ready to really manage a crisis, what makes TJ Smith the right guy?
Well, I think people have had the opportunity to see me in the role of crisis management and communication over the years, and I have a list of things. And one thing I don't want to do from a leadership standpoint is just simply pick on the shortcomings of the leaderships that failures that we've seen throughout this. I mean, I don't think anyone would have expected anything less from the president because he's shown his capacity not to tell the truth. He's shown his capacity not to know how to react in a crisis. We know that already. But we've also seen the leadership step up here, in particular the governor. If anyone's looking at this through a political lens, then they really are short-sighted, in my opinion. I hearken back to 9/11. And I remember being glued to the television screen and grasping on every word from President Bush at the time. And it didn't matter my political affiliation. We felt like Americans. We felt the togetherness and we felt we were going to get through it. And I think we looked at him as, okay, he understands what's going on. He understands the gravity of this. It's very hard to take our current president at face value, and arguably our response has been hindered because of his inability to tell the truth. But that doesn't stop the fact that now we're seeing leadership at the local level and the state level to get us through this. And I want people to understand that you know, this is not about everyone who is running for office trying to get out there and say, oh, Mayor Young should be doing this. Mayor Young should be doing it. Well, you know what? Behind the scenes, I reached out to him and his staff. What is it that I could do? What is it that me as citizen TJ can do to help us? I have a voice. I have people that listen to me. I have people that respect me. I have people that are following my leadership at this point. And one of the requests is, can you share our infographics and let people know how important it is to flatten the curve, the social distancing, et cetera? Yes, sir. Absolutely. That's what I'm going to do. So, yes, from a leadership standpoint, there are some things that I would be doing differently. There are some different communication strategies that I would be employing. But we also have to look at the fact that as leaders, we have to walk and chew gum at the same time. Just recently, I was doing a tour in East Baltimore in a community, and we're being mindful of keeping our distance from one another. While we're doing this tour at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, a shootout happens. 14 rounds fired in the middle of the afternoon in an East Baltimore neighborhood. There are kids that are trapped within this crime scene. And I'm trying to educate young people in this area about the coronavirus, and they're looking at me like, well, I'm more likely to get shot than to get this coronavirus that everybody keeps talking about. So we have to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time and recognize that a multitude of issues can present themselves at any given time. And that's kind of the leadership that I'm trying to portray.
T.J. Smith is here, a mayoral candidate, a combined version of WNST and Baltimore Positive. Don Moeller, former Baltimore County executive, with us as always. T.J., you said that there were some things you could do differently or you thought about doing differently. I think we all look at this and say, the president calling it a hoax. I'm never going to let that go because I don't think we should. But I say, you know, 6-7 weeks later, now it gets dropped on the local level. Now it's Hopkins and Maryland and Sinai. And a dear friend of mine has a daughter in the fight right now. She has the coronavirus. She's in a local hospital. And I got that word the other night. But for you, if you're the mayor, and, you know, we had Martin O'Malley on a couple of months ago talking about when the fire under the city happened. He didn't even know that there was a railroad track under the city, right? Because he just didn't know that. I think there's so many things you can't know, but that's when you listen to your experts. And, you know, we're seeing Lena Wen on TV, a Baltimore Positive alum as well as you, you know, talking to the world about this pandemic. But for you, from a mayor standpoint, not to criticize Jack in any way, to say, if you're there, what are the things going through your mind that you're not seeing done, or maybe you're thinking first five things that come to mind for you?
Well, one of the things I'm doing is I'm boosting up someone else in my administration that works directly for me as the person that is handling other day-to-day stuff that's going on in our city. Baltimore's been in a crisis, in a pandemic for years now. We have all, is there a lot of faith right now that we're still doing everything that needs to be done to run the city right now while we're distracted with this coronavirus response? That confidence level has probably dwindled down a bit because everybody's talking about the coronavirus, as we should. But we have to do day to day. Again, using the model that we're seeing right now from the governor, Lieutenant Governor Boyd Rutherford is running the day-to-day operations of the state. There are things that are going on, other crises that are going to occur or that are happening as we speak that someone else has to be in charge of and someone else has to lead. Good leadership does that. We should be mimicking what the governor is saying and what the governor is doing and doing a scaled-down version of it locally. We should be doing a lot more of it. I was surprised at how late that we called a state of emergency. That was a bit concerning to me. I do need to see a little bit more of the press conference where we specifically talk about the public safety side of things. What is the fire department doing specifically to make sure we don't have a pandemic within the fire department? Our first responders are going out and they're contacting members of the public often, over and over again, many of whom might have the virus themselves. We can't afford to have our first responders get sick. We saw with the Baltimore Police Department, they had dried up Purell wipes that expired in 2012. What are we doing to ensure the people who we're going to call on in the midst of the secondary crisis that they're healthy? Because we already have an understaffed police and fire department, for that matter. We can't afford for one of them to come down with this virus of something that we could prevent. So again, there are a multitude of tertiary things that we also have to consider, but we have to at least give the public the confidence that we're thinking about it, and the public needs to know that we're thinking about it. And moreover, not that we're just thinking about it, here's what we're doing about it. It's not this, for me, again, we're running a race, but the health of our communities is number one. Leadership lives and dies with how they handle a crisis. And I think because we have two competing members of the same government running for office, everyone wants to get their shine or their spotlight. We have to work together, put egos aside, put politics aside, for a greater good. If you're a leader, that will stand out. It will show. It will shine. You don't have to try to seek these things out. Just go do it. Make sure we're checking the boxes. Everything doesn't have to be televised. Everything doesn't have to be publicized. Make sure we're doing the right thing for people, because people are suffering. We just heard about a five-year-old contracting the virus. We know that one person so far has died. That number is going to grow. Our job as public servants or any people of influence is using that influence, using that power, using that leadership to make sure the message is getting out to the masses. And we can't simply rely. Like, I look at simple things. I'm out on Monument Street, a very busy area. We know that we have some income gaps in our city where people aren't connected to whether it's social media or even cable enough to really understand this. Are we on the ground in these communities specifically talking to people and not just using electronic means or television to get the message to people who are underserved to understand this virus? Because it can adversely affect the people that are already suffering even more. So these are just some of the things that I think we could be doing a better job at. And I'm willing to do whatever I can to help get that message out there.
Well, TJ, thanks for that. You made a couple of really important points there. And for those of you listening, we are with mayoral candidate TJ Smith, reminding everyone that the election that was scheduled for April the 28th will now be held on June the 2nd. So we have 2.5 months. Baltimore Positive will continue to do everything it can to keep you connected, keep everyone out there connected with the mayoral race, with the mayoral candidates, because it's important to know what's going on in your community. You mentioned, TJ, that some of the early thoughts and observations about the virus are proving not to be true in the United States, particularly regarding to young people coming across and catching the disease. The latest data I saw, I think, this morning was that now roughly 40% of the cases that have been hospitalized in the United States are people between 20 and 35 years old. So we have a real issue, and we've got to say to young people, please don't be dismissive of this. I see that as we go to air, the governor's now closing the malls. I mean, I thought even Governor Hogan, in his most recent press conference, there was a more somber tone. I commented to my wife, I said, you know, the governor's been on top of this thing from the beginning, but this morning there's even a more somber tone, which indicates to me that he's getting information that this is about to get much worse before it gets much better.
Yeah, I think I took the tone as somber and disappointed. I think he didn't want to take the drastic measures of closing the malls and closing up the venues, but people aren't paying attention. The education level of this, I think there's a lack of clarity. And to be quite frank, it took me a while to really understand this thing. And if we look at somebody like me, who I think is in tune with all of this stuff, imagine the drop-off with people who aren't as in tune to things like this. So the education level that's incumbent upon all of us, and that's why I said our job, some of us who are mayoral candidates who have the bully pulpit, right now where people are paying a lot of attention to him, it's not about pointing fingers. Here's what you can do to protect yourself. I'm in the room. I'm getting information. I'm paying attention to information differently than you might be, so I want to convey it to you. So that's what I think that we need to do, and I think that the governor's tone has been a somber one now and one of disappointment, because it's like, this is not spring break and everybody's having parties and kids are having play dates. That's not what this is for. And we didn't want to have to take these drastic steps. And I think part of his calculus and thought behind that is, I know right now that these drastic steps are going to hurt small business in Baltimore. It's going to affect them in a way that they're not going to be able to survive this. And now, by virtue of public safety, I have to do this because people aren't doing it themselves. We've seen the foolishness at the beaches down in Florida. I mean, that's nothing short of stupid what people are doing after all the warnings, but you have to take these drastic steps when people are just being foolish. And, you know, we all were in our 20s at one point, and we thought we were invincible and we could, you know, survive anything. But we have young people who just aren't thinking for themselves and aren't thinking responsibly, who have to be mandated to not be able to do certain things. And I feel like that's part of the tone that I was hearing from the governor as well. Disappointing and upsetting.
Man. Well, TJ, I was going to say, your former governor and his wife were out in Pasadena, you know, hoboing around on Facebook on Sunday afternoon saying all is well, it's safe. The president told me it was safe. The country got a very, very mixed message. And on a personal level, yep. It's a six-year anniversary of my wife's diagnosis of leukemia literally today. Today was the day they handed her a box of masks and said, go home, put this on, go to the emergency room. And from that moment forward, 6 years ago yesterday, I didn't understand bacteria or virus or immune systems. I didn't like Purell on my hands. I didn't like wearing a mask on my face everywhere I went. I didn't like elbowing people for 6 weeks while my wife fought for her life and saying, you can't hug me. I can't touch you. So that's a very difficult way to live, right? And I learned that. It's very awkward. And I had to take it so seriously because my wife's life was on the line. I'm not so sure people really understand viruses here. And to your point, the educational part of it that government plays in this, as well as the media, and it is that role between government and media and Wikipedia and what's fake news and what's real and, you know, what constitutes real Purell versus using Tito's vodka, right? I mean, this is, we have kids eating, you know, bleach tablets or whatever the heck that was a couple of years ago on the internet. I mean, the hoax part of this on the internet to say that these things are safe. None of this is safe. And I know this because the doctors made it clear to me 6 years ago, and we're seeing it on CNN or wherever we're seeing it as to what's safe and what isn't safe. But the educational part of this, it really does fall on government and media and human beings being able to trust each other, right? We talk so much about crime in Baltimore and policing. It's trust. And a lot of folks don't know who to trust right now.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm glad that your wife is doing better and you have a different perspective of what we're dealing with and what we're going through. But this also goes back to trust. You just brought up an amazing point, a very critical point. We have a president who is, if he's immune to anything, he's immune from telling the truth. And now the chickens have come home to roost, where we need people to take this seriously. And we watched him call it a hoax, like everything else that has occurred. And instead of a moment for leadership, it's been a moment of failure that's put people at risk. And now we're trying to play catch up. This is precisely the problem. And again, I hate to make it super political with the president, but we're at that point now where it's no more apologizing. This is not Republican or Democrat. This is leadership. And now people, there's 40% of the country who believe every word that he says, who aren't taking this seriously, and who are amplifying a false message that now we're trying to untie. It's pretty to see someone in our own state do something so irresponsible, where I've seen some of these things nationally done that are so irresponsible, it's just sickening. And I think one of the biggest takeaways from this, to show you how non-political it is, I saw a tweet about a week or so ago of AOC and Ted Cruz, who couldn't be on two opposite ends of the spectrums politically, agreeing on something. And it was about the social distancing and not getting in large crowds and taking this matter seriously. So we can put politics aside, but we have to be honest with people.
And there is no doubt that the president has done irreparable harm, and if people who are listening don't like that, and, you know, I know Nestor feels this way. That's just too bad. Because, folks, the reality is this president put us all in danger. Example, everyone who wants a test can get a test. Well, I guarantee you that we all know now that's a lie. There's no other way to put it. I know someone very close to me who has a sore throat, who has some congestion and other issues going on, and that person is unable to get a test. So the thought that anyone wants a test can get a test. This morning we have the CDC saying, recommending that healthcare workers may have to use personal bandanas because there aren't enough masks. The president has failed this test. And as someone who wants to be in local leadership, we can no longer elect reality TV stars to important positions in our government. It's just unacceptable.
And we're seeing that failure. The president has had the luxury of not having to deal with a major, major global crisis during his tenure until now. And we all have been trying to hold on and hope that nothing happened. But this is essentially his Hurricane Katrina, his 9/11. We're watching it unfold. And I think, yeah, we can look back at Hurricane Katrina and say things didn't go very well with that. But we can look back at 9/11 and say, well, at least we felt like it. I mean, the politics of how we went to war in Iraq is totally different from the moment that this was happening. And right now, unfortunately, we're dealing with an inept leader who has put so many lives at risk, and so many people are now trying to factor in whether they believe this is real or not. And it's very unfortunate. So we have to use our platforms to make sure we educate people. And again, as leaders, we can't just forget. We can't just go full throttle coronavirus only. We have a multitude of issues. What happens after we get through this pandemic and with all of the newly unemployed people? We have to be thinking about our economy and what we're going to do for the next group of unemployed people who 2 weeks ago had gainful, stable employment, who are going to lose that employment as a result of this virus.
TJ, well, last thing for you. I want to jump in on crime because it's still the biggest issue. It's still a concern. I live in the city. We've had these issues. Jack's telling people don't shoot each other. We need the hospital beds. I just, as a citizen, and I'm not walking the streets right now, but the police officers are and the first responders are. I am, and I know Don and I have talked about this privately. We're assuming it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. We're assuming there's going to be a lockdown if it gets worse and people are crazy and people get sicker and continue to get sicker and we overload our hospitals. And I think one of the real concerns we have as Baltimore is the concentration not only of hospitals but world-class hospitals that'll be treating these people, first responder kind of hospitals for bad cases, and the crime in and around the city that we say is normal once the temperature gets to 80 degrees. Well, here we are, right?
The crime again, and this is where I say, you know, again, not to be overly critical, but we need to have some public safety updates as to what strategies are being deployed or employed to ensure we are ready to deal with the potential of looting. I mean, we have to consider that. We're going to have places that are generally not open for or generally open for business that are closed now. So we have to actually be thinking right now what our public safety strategy is when it comes to people or businesses that are generally open, and how we're going to go about navigating that. So this, again, just some of the things you have to think about. But the crime, we can't just, okay, we're in the midst of coronavirus. I think you can just look at the past week or two and see that the coronavirus has not yet deterred bad guys. We had a mass shooting in Baltimore. In the midst of this coronavirus pandemic that we're dealing with, we had a mass shooting in Baltimore. 7 people shot. If that doesn't go to tell you that people aren't sitting on their guns and they're thinking to themselves, oh, you know what? I shouldn't commit this crime today because we need to make sure that bed's available for somebody who has coronavirus. We can't communicate. And I get that Mayor Young sometimes just speaks off the cuff and says things that, you know, people might be thinking, like, aren't these bad guys thinking about, you know, the people who have coronavirus and, you know, the fact that they're not thinking about that. And that's not a crime strategy. That's why I say, from a leadership standpoint, it's so much uncharted territory in an unprecedented moment that we're in. Who is in charge of the city right now? While you're focused on the coronavirus, who's in charge of day-to-day operations? Who's making the calls to the police department to make sure, hey, we have experienced some violence or we're experiencing retaliation? Who's doing that? We have to think a million steps ahead, and that's part of what needs to happen right now as we talk about this pandemic that we're facing.
TJ, before we let you run, on your website it says very boldly, new mayor, new culture, new Baltimore. Give us a quick update on your campaign and what campaigning looks like in the next 2.5 months when we still may be in the midst of social distancing. How do you get your message out? What do you want people to know? What do you want to leave them with today? And we promise folks that we'll be back regularly with these updates. We'll do our part to help you and the other candidates get the message out. Our sponsors at Bailey's and State Fair, that we, our hearts go out to them right now. Moeller and Gary Realtors, Jeff Moeller, all those folks who are hurting right now because of this pandemic. We appreciate all our sponsors, and we'll do our part. But what do you want to leave folks with before we let you get away?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for doing this. And, yes, we've had to transition. I'm not knocking on anyone's doors. I've scaled back all of my public events. I've had to cancel fundraisers. And this is about humanity for me. And from the political side of things, it hurts no more than to cancel a fundraiser. And I've canceled multiple fundraisers. And that hurts. And that hurts for a person that's one of the most underfunded candidate in this race. But this is about humanity. If I said at the beginning of this, I'm not a politician, I'm a public servant, then I'm putting my money where my mouth is, literally. And I feel that I'm going to be able to get through this race regardless of the obstacles that have been put in front of us, because that's what leadership does. So we've made adjustments on the fly. I'm actually going to probably announce even some more scaling back, because if the governor is asking people to limit their travel, and one of the things that I transitioned to was sign waving, I'm also self-aware. And people say this to me, I'm a regular guy, but people look at us and they think we're celebrities, like, right? So if we're giving people the option to come and talk to us, and we're feeding the temptation, that could be irresponsible. I want to be responsible as to what we do and how we're doing it. So that's the direction that I've given in my campaign. We've done some telemeetings, and we've answered some questions online. I'm doing teletown halls through my Facebook page, and people can go to tjsmithforbaltimore.com, and they can follow me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm trying to keep engaged with the people, and also trying to not add to the stress of our current administration, who's trying to navigate our city through a crisis. And I want to be able to support what our current mayor is doing for the sake of public safety. People have made their decision whether he's the next mayor of Baltimore or not. I mean, people have made that decision, I think. And it is me assisting him is not helping him become mayor of Baltimore. It's me helping the city of Baltimore, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Well, TJ, Baltimore Positive will be there for you. As I said, Nestor and I are committed all the way up through June the 2nd to have regular updates from the candidates. Nestor, anything you want to add?
No, just the extra time. And well, I mean, as a citizen, when we're talking about petty crimes not being prosecuted and stuff, we'll save that one for down the road. But I would just say to you, because it is quiet right now, right, for people that are sort of, hunkered down, and food, and how do they get food. I hope you stay safe. I do worry for you, my brother. You've shaken a lot of hands. I mean, I'm not going to be bumping into you in Cross Street, but I elbow bump with you 2 weeks ago. We ran into you just out and about town. I mean, do you have a little personal concern just for how exposed you may or may not have been? You literally have been shaking hands and kissing babies, right?
Yeah, I can't remember if I said this earlier, because I've been doing a lot of talking. And my grandmother's 93, and she wanted me and my son to come visit her, and I told her no. And I said, and we FaceTimed her, and I said, Grandma, I've been out shaking a lot of hands, been talking to a lot of people. People have been in my face. I don't know that if I'm a carrier who happens to be in good health, so it's not affecting me the way it could affect you. So I'm not going to do that, because that's not responsible. And I urge other people to make the same calculations. If you have a senior or an elderly person that's in that vulnerable population, make the decision not to expose yourself to them if you've been in contact with a lot of people. Yes, I will fully admit that I am kind of nervous, and I'm not a person that gets a fever, so I think I would know pretty immediately if I'm, you know, sick. So I am monitoring myself, and I'm also, you know, doing the best I can practicing the social distancing and limiting my appearances at places, because it is a legitimate concern how long we know this has existed in the United States, and we're just starting to change our behavior. So it's very possible that pretty much all of us have probably been in contact with someone who has the coronavirus. It's just how it will affect you.
T.J. Smith, you can find him at tjsmith4baltimore.com. He's running for mayor amidst all of this madness. For Don Mulder, former Baltimore County Executive, on behalf of all of our incredible sponsors at Fadley's and State Fair, we will get back soon. I will curbside the chicken and waffles. I had Damien on as well. You can find all that up in the buyatoyota.com audio vault at WNST.net, as well as through our Baltimore Positive channels. Keeping business alive and keeping our neighbors alive, as well as keeping the candidates out in the spotlight amidst this coronavirus, because we got an election and we got a future here in Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. Keep calm. Stay local. Wash your hands. We are WNST.net and Baltimore Positive and AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop bringing you the truth and some facts about how to stay safe during this crisis.